Good to see each one of you tonight. We appreciate you being here. And I know that Brother Donnie would rather be here than where he's at. So y'all pray for him and also, what's her name?
Shelby.
Shelby, that's right.
Sometimes I have to think what it is, too.
I have problems sometimes with people's names, even if I've been knowing them all of my life. I was going to try to sing one tonight, and I went over it at home. It sounded halfway decent, but I don't know about now. But I do know one thing, that my God is real.
Amen.
Amen. There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him deep within. My God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folk may scorn, all can go on and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, and God is real, for I can feel him in my heart. My God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you fell when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. My God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Now, do y'all want to sing your little chorus? Do you feel like singing it tonight? Some of you are looking at me like you forgot it. Well, I'm going to sing it one time, then we're going to let y'all sing it one time, okay? And you act out your part, but I'm not going to act out mine. Smile a while and give your face a lift. Lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a smile. Now, can you do it? God bless you. All right, do it now. Y'all did a good job. Now, most of you are smiling, and the ones that are not smiling, I want you to turn your frown upside down. Amen. All right, you know all that. I brought it to you here a while back. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Micah, chapter 5, please. Now, if you don't know where it's at, it's in between Jonah and Nahum, I think it is, or something like that. But if you have a Bible like mine, and I hope you do, it's page 1104. Have you found it? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. I'll go with that. That's over 75%. Amen. It's a joy and a privilege to be here tonight with you. And I hate to be here because of the reason that I'm here, because of Brother Donnie couldn't be here, but I'm glad that he gave me an opportunity since he couldn't. Now, I want to encourage you tonight because this is the last night, as far as I know, that you will be meeting together in this whole year. And we need to be encouraged for the new year, because I believe that the new year is going to be a good year, and most of the time it's what we make it. And if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ to help us, I know that he's going to bring us through. He's going to bless us in a special way. Now, let's start reading verse 1, and we're going to read down verse 4. If you will, all of you found it now. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He had laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with the rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of reading God's word. And now, Lord, help us to proclaim part of God's word tonight. Help us to be encouraged from the word of God, each one of us, Lord. There may be somebody here that doesn't feel well, Lord, and we understand that. And I know you do, Lord, and I pray that you just touch them and strengthen them, Lord, and make them feel better before they leave here tonight, Lord, spiritually, physically, financially, or whatever it might be, Lord, that's bothering them, or they need a touch from above about whatever it might be, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for the ones that are here tonight. And we appreciate the opportunity again. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, most Christians tonight have a vivid and a very vivid idea of the suffering in Christ. We have by faith seen him sweating great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, haven't we? We've seen that in God's word. We have looked on with amazement what he gave back. He gave his back to the smiters, his cheeks to them who plucked off the hair, or out the hair. With sorrowful sympathy, we have followed him through the streets of Jerusalem by God's word, weeping with the women. We have sat down to watch him when he was fastened to the cross. We have read his cry from the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We have followed his dead body to the tomb and seen it wrapped in about with spices and left to its lonely sleep. But is our sight just as keen concerning the glory which did follow as it was for all of this? I trust that it is, and I trust that in talking about it tonight that we will be encouraged to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Now, You see, we see him as distinctly when on the third morning the conqueror rises. He bursts the bonds of death with which he could not be healed. Can you as clearly view him ascended up in high or upon high, leading captivity captive? Do you plainly perceive him as he takes his seat at the right hand of God the Father, henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool? Now, if you can go this far, then you can see what Micah saw. The Bible says, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Can you tonight be as clear about the reigning Christ as you have been about the suffering Christ? The prophecies here of Micah pictures him standing in the kingdom age, but it's a glorious picture of the church. You think about that. Here is the church, and the Bible says, and they shall abide. I'm not talking about only Faith Baptist Church. I'm talking about every church that lifts up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Those that are standing to him as being Christians and standing for him. The church is not the mortar and the wood in this church. The church is you and I that are born again by God's marvelous grace. So when I say church tonight, I'm not talking about this church as wood and anything else it's made of, except for the Christians that make the church up, okay? So remember that as we get into this, and we shall abide. Here's three great truths about Jesus, about his church, and about his reign. Here's three things about the church and how that she shall abide. You see, the church is not going down. It's going up. Amen? Can you agree with me on that? The church is not going down. It's going up. Remember that. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. You see, her strength is not earthly. Our strength is not earthly. Our strength is heavenly. Our strength is spiritually. And what we need in our life is a spiritual life. And here is the picture of the Lord as he shall stand over Israel in that kingdom age. He'll reign over his people. And according to Micah here, the strength comes from the Father, flowing through the king unto the people. So what a glorious picture we have here of our Lord. While he is now seated beside the Heavenly Father making intercession for our sin, it is through him that the Father blesses the church on this earth. He's already done what he needed to do for the church. But he keeps blessing it, doesn't he? It's through him that the Father blesses his church on this earth. He, like a shepherd, tenderly watches over his sheep. You know, Psalms 23, what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. And surely he does that for us. And we can say, thank God tonight that we're Christian. Thank God tonight that we're a part of the family of God. Thank God tonight that we're a part of the church. And we're not going down. We're going up one day. Amen. And God looks out to his own. Always remember that. And that is why that we close our prayer with these words. In the name of Jesus, we ask these blessings. Or something to that effect. In the name of Jesus anyway. Now, the scripture says, he shall stand and feed. Our blessings are not to be expected from this world. They come from the throne room of heaven. And it's bestowed upon us from the throne room of heaven. Not because we deserve it, but through his loving care for us. Our church does not close his eyes to the need, or our Lord doesn't close his eyes to the need of the church. He's not an unconcerned spectator of our wants, but he does supply our needs. And many times he gives us our wants too, don't he? And sometimes we might ask for something that we don't need, and he'll give it to you anyway, just to show us that we didn't need it to start with, and let us know that he supplies our needs, not our wants. But he will supply our wants at times. He's feeding his people. The Bible tells us that Elijah was in the wilderness of despair when God sent the ravens to feed him. Now, what did he... Well, who fed him? The ravens. Aren't they known of being dirty birds? That's what I call them, dirty birds. But God used them to feed Elijah in the wilderness. And in the wilderness of this world, our Lord's going to feed us. A lot of times we get down in the dumps, so to speak, and I'll just be honest with the words tonight. Down in the dumps, do y'all know what that is, don't you? Sure you do. You get burdened, you get to feeling sorry for yourself, you begin to have a pity party, but always remember that Jesus is there with you the whole time. Let's don't carry him through a pity party. He don't deserve a pity party, does he? He deserves us trusting him, serving him, trying to glorify him, and worshiping him in spirit and in truth, praising his name, because he is worthy, the Bible says, of our praise. And I'm glad that he is. I'm glad that we have someone that's worthy of our praise. Can you imagine and us going around all time and not knowing what we're going to be blessed, or thinking that we're going to be blessed, or worrying about being blessed, or anything like that? Can you imagine going along like that the rest of your life? Well, I'm here and tell you that you don't have to, because God is with you. If you're a Christian, you live in him and he lives in you. Amen. So remember that. You see, he sent the ravens to feed in the wilderness, and he will set a table to feed among the enemies. David said, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now we can feast while our enemies fight, if we'll just trust the Lord. So you see, her strength is not earthy. Let's look at something else. Her source is not empty. It gets mighty lonesome sometimes, doesn't it? When we get down and out and we think that no one ever cared for us. Well, let me tell you something. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen. And there's not anybody that ever will. It said, and they shall abide. Now, when this day comes for Israel, she's going to have been scattered and abused for the last time. He'll stand in her midst as her eternal king. And this will be the day when Israel will dwell in a new built Jerusalem, and Hosea puts it, will sit in his presence. Surely, we're going to be in his presence one day also. Yes, Israel is his chosen people. But he, by grace, through faith, gave us salvation that we can be his people too. We're his children. We're his family, along with Israel. Again, we have a glorious picture of the church in this world. And because of the unseen but most certain presence of Christ as King in the midst of his people, his church abides. And what a thought, that a wonderful thought that it is. The church in the world is perhaps the greatest miracle of all ages, that God has a church in the world. The whole history of the church is a series of miracles, a long stream of wonders. And just think of the trials the church has been subjected to. The fire, the imprisonment, the banishments, and the slanders, and all these have been tried. Yes, in all them, the church has been more than conquerors through him that loved her. Can the devil in his crowd invent anything else that they hadn't already invented to try to torment the church with? All the false doctrines are around. Can you imagine? You have to know the way things are that are going around this day and time, that this is the last days. We have to know that. God's word says in the last days, perilous times should come. In the last days, there would be false doctrines and different things happening that we never thought would happen before. There's those false doctrines. There's those heresies. There's those hypocrisies. There's some formalism that's crept in. There is worldliness. There's multitudes of other hurtful things. But the church still abides and shall abide. And that ought to bless us tonight to know that we are part of the church, the born-again believers of Jesus Christ, God's family. And we are going to abide with Him one day. All right? You know, I said that it was without need. God supplies those needs, don't He? No matter what comes along, God supplies our needs. Now, last thing I want to mention to you is that her shepherd is not ending. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Israel had known the good kings and the bad kings, but all had passed from the scene. But now they have the eternal king, and he should be great for all eternity. All eternity. There is no beginning and there is no end to eternity. I could stand here all night long and say the word eternity, and eternity would just have begun. Amen. Now, Israel mourned at the death of David. But all had passed from the scene. But now they have the eternal king, and he should be great for all eternity. Israel mourned the death of David, for he was a great king. But now the son of David is the eternal king. Mourning over his death will never be. The third and final great blessing of the church is that we have an eternal shepherd loving us and watching over us. I have an eternal shepherd loving me, watching over me, and you do too. We ought to just rejoice in knowing all of these things, loving us and watching over us. Now the world says, now shall he be great. But I'm here to tell you, he's always been great. He's great in the conversion of every sinner. And he's also great in the consecration of every saint. He'll do for us what no one else can do. And in the day that we're living in, I ask you one or two questions. Are you ready to worship him more now than you were the first of the year? He's given us another chance. If we live until first day of January 2017, he's given us another chance. And we ought to take that chance. Because it is not such a thing as it being a chance, because God looks after everything anyway. Amen. So if we as Christians we'll trust the Lord in 2017 more than we did in 2016, there'll be a better year for us as Christians. And even if Jesus Christ comes in 2017, it still will be a better time for the Christians than it is right now. Because we'll go home to be with Jesus. There to live with him forever and forever and forever and forever. Isn't it wonderful to know that you've been born again, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that God loved you enough to give himself, or his only begotten son for you, and then the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten son, loved you enough to give himself for you. Aren't you glad of that, and that you received him as your personal savior? And I trust that most of you have, if not all of you. I hope that all of you have. But all I know is a one, and that's me. I don't even know whether my wife is or not. She says she is, she lives a life, and I believe she is. But I can't say for sure that she is. But I can say for sure that one is. And you can say that you're saved, and I hope that you can. But this is all that I have tonight. Now, I'm not a long-winded preacher, you know that. So, Brother Bill, come up here, let's sing something. I tell you what, let's do it. Y'all not having New Year's Eve service, are you? I know, not a New Year's Eve service.
Oh, Watts Night?
Yeah, Watts Night. I call it New Year's Eve service. Yeah. Watts Night service. Okay, we're not doing that, but I'll tell you what, let's just think in our mind.